Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CacheFly.com. CashFly. It's time for Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. This is episode 44 for May 3rd, 2008. Why Kids Lie. Jumping Monkeys is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/monkeys. And now, visit Audible's new kids site, audiblekids.com. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations. It's time for Jumping Monkeys. If I sound a little bit echoey, it's because I'm in the new Jumping Monkeys cave, where no children are allowed.
No, not allowed. Well, yeah. I think they would have fun in here. We should
they
do
would.
Some
you
episodes.
Like it?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of things they could break in here, I think.
Or swallow.
Yeah.
Or accidentally.
Really, they're into the breaking.
Yeah, we have a special poison control number right here on the Jumping Monkeys set.
Those batteries, are those?
Yeah, these they could try those. They're,
okay.
they're like candy.
Yeah. Only did you ever lick batteries when you were little?
Then they give you a little shock.
Yeah, yeah.
Little buzz.
That's not recommended, right?
That's not recommended?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's safe.
Well, I thought, no, it's just a little jolt.
Yeah. So today we have the return of Ashley Merriman. Do you remember we spoke to Ashley a few months ago?
I do, and she was the one, the expert who taught me the most important thing I've learned in the last 6 months.
What?
Which was that lack of sleep makes you fat.
Yes, yeah.
I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I told my daughter that because she was talking about sleep cycles and teenagers and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And I told my daughter that, and it actually worked. Abby now sleeps more.
Really?
She doesn't want to be fat. That was a good, effective, like, oh, guess go to bed now or you'll be fat.
Yeah.
Works a lot better than go to bed now or you'll be tired.
That's true. And I've heard that research in a lot of different places. But today we're not going to talk about sleep.
Just briefly, go back and listen. I don't remember what episode it was, but
yeah,
it was
a great episode.
It was. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
And it has something to do with the fact that the enzyme that you lack because you haven't eaten enough is the same enzyme that makes you hungry.
Right, right. So, yeah, it's interesting because you would think that if you're sleeping more, you're lazy and you get fat. It's, you know, it's counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. The opposite.
So today she's going to talk to us about why kids lie.
I don't lie. I never lie. Who lies?
You're on camera.
I didn't do it. Why kids lie? Why anybody lie?
Yeah,
kids do like, you know, sometimes you can say, oh, my kid's liar.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there's books, nip it in the bud because they don't. But I think it's normal
right.
at certain ages, but we'll find out.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We're going to talk about why little kids lie and why teenagers lie. Because I got a lot of feedback about our episode last week about teenagers. A lot of people who listen to us have teenagers. And they were really excited about that.
Good. So, I like covering a little bit of that.
So, yeah.
I have teenagers too.
Yeah, I know. And I think even people with little kids like me like to hear about the problems of teenagers because we're going to face that.
Right, right.
So, that's what we're going to do today. And you ready for the spend, save,
let's
give?
Let's spend, let's save, but most importantly, let's spend.
Let's start with spend.
Let's spend.
Now, a PR agency sent me a copy of this DVD called A Plum Summer. And normally I don't, you know, listen to the PR agencies, but I watched it. And it was really good. It was a cute little movie. And it's a good family movie. I think your family would enjoy it also.
What's it about?
It's about this true story in Montana. That was the other reason, because, you know, I have family in Montana, so I wanted to listen to it. It's
right.
To watch it. It's
right.
This true story of this kids show. It's got Henry Winkler in it, the Fonz.
Hey.
And he has this puppet, and the puppet gets stolen, like a kids program puppet, and it gets stolen.
Yeah.
And then the story is how they find it. And it's a really cute little movie. It's a really small movie. So I thought I would recommend it here because A Plum Summer. It's in theaters
can
now.
Can you download it? It looks like you can download. What is this?
Download the trailer, maybe.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
And then the Froggy Doo fan club.
Froggy Doo. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is for kids.
Yes. Well, for families. Yeah.
Family.
Yeah. Not little kids. They're, you know, I think my kids might be actually a little bit too little. There's like an alcoholic dad in it. There's, you know, some family violence.
No,
so,
yeah, I don't like that.
But my, it caused some interesting discussions with Annabella and I about that. A Plum Summer
Mommy,
with two M's.
Why is that guy stumbling around?
Right.
He's sleepy.
Yeah.
See, maybe we should do a thing on why parents lie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe. We can ask Ashley about that. Because that's an interesting thing with kids. Like, you're told never to lie to them. Like, as you're, you know, if they ask for something, you know, ask for candy and you have candy, you shouldn't say, like, no, we don't have any. That's not the right.
What are you supposed to say?
No, you can't have candy. It's
ask
bad for you or
I say,
something.
Ask your
yeah,
mother.
Exactly.
Does that work? Is that allowed?
All right. Let's move on to save.
Save.
Have you heard of Brad's Deals?
No.
Bradsdeals.com. My mom and dad recommended this site. For great deals,
for great deals,
coupons.
Yes.
And he's just one of those guys who sort of scans the internet and finds all these coupon codes and coupons. And there's lots of Target coupons, Children's Place, other things for kids. And, you know, he makes money because if you click on it and, you know, buy it from his link, same thing, like affiliate programs type thing.
Neat.
But yeah, bradsdeals.com. And I think he's been on like the Today Show and different things. So. I found some good coupons that I like and coupon codes, you know, it's like there's coupon codes for everything. And if, you know, if you just want to, you should always look here before you buy anything anywhere. And now we've got to the give. Did you find Brad's Deals or not?
You know, I'm something wrong with my intranet.
Oh
here.
No.
Because Brad's Deals is not loading.
But the Plum Summer was there.
Bradsdeals.com. Maybe I just, did I type it wrong?
Did I break your internets?
You broke my internets.
Because we're definitely going to need the internets for this next.
Are we?
For the give.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's go to the internet.
The give is this March of Dimes Mom You Rock e-card.
Yes.
It's the countdown to Mother's Day.
Yes.
You have 1 week left.
Mom.
Exactly.
You rock.
Have you gotten something for your mom for Mother's Day? Oh, you've got the internets. This is this card from the March of Dimes. And I made it for you so you can play it.
Oh, this is the one you made for me?
Yeah, I made it for you as if you were my mom.
Now, I have to say, I wonder a little bit about, I guess the March of Dimes is safe. I'm not crazy about e-cards because you're giving your email address to somebody.
I didn't give you, I didn't give their email. We got no sound?
We got no sound. That may be a problem with the intranets or, oh, wait a minute. Now we'll get some sound.
You don't actually need to give your internet. Your email for this site?
Oh.
I think I did. I gave mine.
You didn't have to. Oh, look, it's me.
Yeah, it's you.
Am I smoking a pipe?
No, that might be your drum.
Oh, that's my drum.
So it's one of those you can put your mom's face on there. I made this for my mom.
So
also.
She's in a rock band.
Yeah, and it's something like, you know.
Oh, that's really neat.
They say, Mom, you rock.
Mom, you rock.
So I don't recommend this as an alternate to the traditional Mother's Day.
My mom sends e-greetings.
Yeah. I know. I agree with you. There's a lot of fraud, and you should be wary when you click links and e-greetings.
I feel like you're giving them your email address so they can sell it to spammers or whatever, right?
Yeah, you could do that. But you can also use... I just use like my...
You really didn't finish. It says, Leo, please customize this card as you wish. Signed, sender.
I did. Well, you're not my mom. For my mom, I actually did write something in there.
You didn't finish.
No, I didn't.
You don't really care. How did you get my head like that? That's good.
But it's to support the March of Dimes, which is a good organization, and I don't think that they're going to use that to spam you.
No.
They might use it to send out email to ask you to donate
to
March of Dimes,
yeah,
but
right.
It's in the up.
I'll give them a dime.
So send this to your mom. You just need a little photo.
They should change their name. March of Dimes is fine in the 30s when a dime meant something.
Should be March of...
March of Sawbucks.
Yeah.
I don't think that would really have the same ring.
That's true.
No.
All right. We have a little time before Ashley's going to call in. We never have time.
Well, let's do our Audible pick.
Let's do.
Pick. Do you have an Audible pick?
I do have an Audible pick. Do you want to talk a little bit about Audible?
Yes. Audible.com/monkeys. That's our special URL. Audible is our fine sponsor. They're the folks who give you audiobooks, tons of audiobooks. We've got the audiblekids.com as well, which is for kids. Mm-hmm. And I guess we should really talk about audiblekids.
Right, and we do have a special link also.
We do for
audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys.
I like
is
it.
Is the special
link.
So it's
not just monkeys, it's jumping monkeys.
Audiblekids, audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys.
Tell us a little bit about Audible Kids, Megan.
Audible Kids is a great site for downloading free... Not free.
No, you know what? You say free, but they have a listing of free kids' audiobooks you can get there.
They do?
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
So you can get the free trial.
Okay.
But they also have some free books you can get there as well.
And a lot of them, I say they're free because they're 99 cents. And these days, 99 cents, that's essentially free. A lot of the little picture books are 99 cents.
Yeah.
And you can download them, you can rate them, you can see what other people like. It's a real community of users, parents and kids.
What do you think as a parent about the idea? How does that work for your kids? It doesn't replace reading, does
No,
it?
Not at all. Just like it doesn't replace reading for me either.
Right.
No, what I try to read the book before I download the audiobook.
Right.
And for no other reason, but just because, you know, I have to have a system. So we read it first, and then Annabella can see the pictures if there are pictures, or the boys too. We like shorter books for them. And then then we listen to it, and we listen to it together. We listen to it in the car. We listen to it. She mostly listens to it before she goes to bed.
So really it works together with the books that she loves to have read to her.
Right.
You've read it to her many times, but she can also listen to it on her own. It gives her some independence.
Yeah. And it was also a great introduction to chapter books that don't have as many pictures because it's just easier to listen than it is
to
read.
She closes her eyes and sees it.
Yeah. So, we love it, and we have tons now, and we have some on CD that we listen to in the car. I have a ton on my iPod, and they actually know how to work it to find what they want. And
so cool.
It's great. So my pick this week is The Cricket in Times Square by George Selden.
Oh,
do you remember that book? Yeah.
And that's from my era.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was written in the 30s, your era.
My
era. The 30s.
Right before World War II, right after the big war.
And it's read by Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, I love him. That's
yeah,
House.
Yeah, me too.
Is it House?
No.
It's
Tony
Monk.
Shalhoub. Yeah,
he's Monk.
Yeah.
I confuse Monk and House.
Yeah, and he was on the other show in the
You may wonder why 80s. I'm under the desk right now.
I don't wonder, but they might.
I'm trying to get the audio from my computer working so we can listen to stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to listen to the book, but I just, something's... You know, we're in our new studio.
Yeah. Some glitches. A few glitches.
Glitches. You ain't heard the... Oh, wait. Well, I see why it's not working.
It's not plugged in. That's usually the answer. Is our phone turned on, by the way? That was our problem a few weeks ago.
It's not plugged in. The phone is turned on.
Okay, excellent.
She hasn't called yet. Wait a minute. I have many cables. You may notice that. And this is just right. This is the cable we want.
Oh, that is a great cable.
Isn't that a nice cable?
So while you're plugging that in, should I tell you a little bit about The Cricket in Times Square?
Yeah, then we can listen to it.
This is a great little book. I didn't read it when I was a kid, but a friend of mine was reading it to her son, and so I got it at the library, and it's a cute little book about a cricket who hitches a ride to San Francisco, to that other big city.
Times Square is in
New York City.
Don't tell me. New York City.
Right. And he befriends a cat, and he befriends a little mouse, and it's just really
cute. You gotta be careful about the cat and mice in Times Square.
Right.
It's a different kind of
cat.
But
they're all, yeah, an actual cat, an actual mouse. It reminds me of E.B. White a little bit, the kind of animal stories, and so it's an excellent read.
I have audio.
Super. We can listen to a sample.
So
you can listen to tons
excited.
Of samples on Audible Kids.
Yeah, and I did look, and they do have free books from Reading is Fundamental, which is that group that promotes reading among kids. Cricket in Times Square. I like the new look of this Audible Kids.
Yeah, it is.
It's very kid-friendly.
Right. Whereas Audible.com is more like a dark library. A little bit like here.
More for like this. So let's look. This is a little bit of a Cricket in Times Square. Here we go. This is George Selden.
Macmillan Audio presents The Cricket in Times Square by George Selden. Read for you by Tony Shalhoub.
He's the same guy who plays House on television.
Chapter
House.
1.
Monk.
Thank you.
Tucker. A mouse was looking at Mario. The mouse's name was Tucker, and he was sitting in the opening of an abandoned
an
dream.
Actor that you know very well, you know his face, and you think you know his voice.
Right.
And then you listen to something like this, and you go, well, I could tell it's him.
Yeah.
But it's like a whole different person.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Pipe in the subway station at Times Square. The drain pipe was his home. Back a few feet in the wall.
That can listen to that is so lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
I think.
That's so neat. This has been the world's longest ad. I apologize. But that was because I was under the desk for half of it.
Right.
Audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys.
Right.
Yompin Monkeys. Thousands of titles from over 75 publishers. Including, by the way, 500 plus titles never before in digital format.
Oh.
We're so glad that Audible Kids is with Jumping Monkeys, because that's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I did want to mention, last week we talked about teenagers, and you were talking about that program that Abby did, the night, that feedback night, what was
yeah,
it called?
Yeah, Getting Real.
I realized, I asked Marco about that, that was my friend Kelsey. Who organized that.
You know Kelsey?
Yes.
She's so cute.
Yeah. She is a... Last week we talked to Vanessa Van Petten about teenagers. Kelsey is the same age as Vanessa. She's like a super 23-year-old.
Yeah. I was really impressed with her. And clearly connects with the kids in a way that an adult, like my age, couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, but it was really neat. Yeah, Kelsey did a good job.
Yeah.
So is that her idea?
No. She brought it to the school from like a bunch of different ideas. But what it was, if you didn't listen, go listen. That was episode 43. But what they did was they read monologues. All the teenagers read different monologues, not necessarily about themselves, but it could be about themselves and the problems that they faced. And then they got into groups, and you were never in the same group as your own kids.
Because then they would feel inhibited.
Right. So you got to talk about the real problems that teenagers
face. But then, you get back and Abby says, well, who was in your group? What did she talk about? And I said, I can't tell you what happens in the room stays in the room. And that bugged the heck out of me.
Yeah. But yeah, I got a lot of feedback, more feedback than I think I've gotten on any other episode. So I feel like there's a lot of people listening
you
that have teenagers.
Spoke. The parents of teens have spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think a lot of times we think of parenting blogs and podcasts and stuff of being about younger kids, because that's when you first are in the throes of it and you really want help. And but let me tell you, teenagers, it's a whole new set of puzzles and questions and misery.
Misery.
I was in Australia, for 2 weeks, and I come back from Australia, and I said, I realized something, Jennifer. I really love teens. She said, yeah, because you haven't seen them for 2 weeks. Let me tell you about our teens. But I really started, something flipped a little bit for me, and after a while, you kind of see, and I think it was the Getting Real night.
Yeah.
You kind of see the teens, what struggle is that they're going through, and sometimes the way that they act to you, which feels so painful and personal and hurtful, isn't.
Right.
It's just them going through what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And we all went through that.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
I have to say, I kind of am starting to really like teens, even though they're obnoxious.
Maybe you'll like them even more today when we talk to Ashley about why kids lie.
Abby is a truth teller. Do you find this? Some kids are truth tellers and some kids aren't?
I guess so. I haven't really noticed. I don't think that my boys know how to lie. Annabella does know how to lie, and she'll sometimes lie. She also makes up really elaborate stories, too.
I don't consider that lying. That's an imaginary
right, storytelling.
Word. But lying is like, Henry will come, when he was like 4 or 5, would come in the door barefoot, and Jennifer would say, where are your shoes? He says, I'm wearing shoes. I mean, that's lying.
Yeah.
That's not, I don't know what it is. I mean, it's like, you could see he's not wearing shoes. I'm wearing shoes. What are you talking about? I got shoes on. Can't you see him? So he is one of those kids who kind of just, I think it's part of his nature. Just,
mm-hmm.
And I don't even think of it as lies. It's just, you have to... He came home the other day and said, I'm getting straight A's. And this was about as true as him wearing shoes when
he
was
barefoot.
Did you
believe him or no?
Yeah, I believe him. And then we got the progress report like 3 days later. And Henry, I thought you said you're getting straight A's. He said, I am. I said, well, what is this? He said, oh, that's out of date. And he's so convincing.
Kept going. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he's... Well, we'll find out when we talk to Ashley. I don't think he's a sociopath. I hope he's not a pathological liar, but mm-mm. I think he's just, I don't know. And he may have got a little bit from me. I have to say, I like to go for the convenience.
Right. Yeah. You're a people pleaser.
I'm a peep. He is too. Do you think that's part of it? Is that what Ashley talks about in her research?
A little bit. Is she there on the phone now?
We'll let her speak for herself.
Okay.
We could just pause for a minute. I'll just make a mark and pause. I don't know how that cable got unplugged. I must've unplugged it.
Otherwise, it just is obvious that
we're stalling, vamping.
I don't know how we got through that so fast. I usually have some extra links, but...
I usually gas more. That's what's why.
Yeah.
Usually, I'm like going on and on.
But you've got your camera face on now.
Well, I've got also a lot of things to think about.
Yeah.
But it's working pretty well. I mean, I feel pretty good about this here. Meanwhile, here's Mom, You Rock. That's my head. Well, let's zoom in on that. I think they could see it if I...
Do you like my Photoshop editing skills?
You did that in Photoshop?
No.
just kind of cut.
Yeah, they have it all. You don't even actually need. They have all the. It's very easy to know what to do.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. You picked the, that looks so much like you. Mm-hmm. You picked the, really the caricature.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The most like
you. Right.
Mom, you rock. That's cute.
Do you want me to look it up?
Did your mom enjoy that?
She did. She really did.
That's cute. So, Ashley Merriman is back. We were talking earlier in the show about your great episode that we did with you on sleep.
Well, thank you.
And I was saying that the thing I learned from it is that lack of sleep makes you fat. And I think that's really helpful.
It's scary, isn't it?
I can't tell you what an eye-opener it was. I have used that now with my teenager, and she's sleeping more.
Really? How exciting.
Isn't that cool?
I have been using it with teenagers myself, and I don't know if they're sleeping more, but they're definitely thinking about it.
She gets it. I mean, it's like, oh, well, I don't want to gain weight, and I understand why I gain weight because of the enzyme, and okay, I won't do that anymore.
Yeah,
and there's actually been 3 or 4 studies that have come out even since we talked, all confirming that short sleeping in kids and adults does seem to have a relationship in obesity.
Yeah, I was
so
saying
the evidence isn't final. It just keeps accumulating more and more.
Isn't that fascinating? So that's episode, I just looked back, 21 of Jumping Monkeys. So if you want to, and I do recommend listening to that episode and listening to Ashley Merriman on sleep. But you've been doing another study on lying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, why kids lie.
Why do
it's
kids
know
lie?
The truth.
I don't lie. I never lie. I tell the truth. I was telling about my son who's kind of a little bit like this. He likes to lie all the time. And I worry, is it, you know, he's 13.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about teenagers? Are you talking about younger kids? What age groups are you talking about?
Well, we did research for a cover story for New York Magazine relating to both young children, the 3-year-old and the 4-year-old. No, I didn't eat the cookie.
Right.
And we also did teenagers. And there are commonalities between, you know, kids across the span, and I think grown-ups also lie for the same reason. They don't want to get caught or in trouble. But there's also definite differences between when and why younger children lie compared to a teenager.
So when does lying start? At what age?
So would you want me to tackle your 13-year-old or the young kids first?
I don't know if Ashley can hear me.
She can't hear you now.
Okay.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. I heard a voice in the background.
I thought you were just ignoring me.
No, I couldn't hear you.
I apologize.
My question was, when do kids start lying? At what age?
Well, usually almost all kids probably start lying by 4 at the latest.
Some kids who never lie?
No,
that's good to know. That's a relief.
I mean, the studies are finding in the lab and experientially, you know, where they go home and they videotape, you know, the kid playing once a week for 12 weeks, they'll find 98% of the kids lie.
Wow.
In that context. So we can say that, you know, with a margin of error of 2%, that they're probably all going to be lying at some point. You kind of assume that they would be doing, you know, a little bit of good behavior if they knew there was a camera on them.
Right. I've read parenting books that say you must never allow your kid to lie and immediately nip this in the bud because it's the beginning of a sociopathic personality. And it's like, you know, this is a serious thing and take it seriously.
Well, I think I've read a lot of parenting magazines and websites and advice like that, too. And I find that most of it doesn't comport with the state of the research at this point.
Excellent.
Right now, all kids start lying because they realize it's actually in some ways a sign of intelligence if they start lying early, like say around 2 or 3.
Mm.
They realize you aren't thinking the same thing I am.
You're going to hit me.
Well, but for a long time, kids think that you and I are actually thinking the same thing as they are.
Right.
Even, you know, first graders, like over 70% of first graders are sure that their parents always know when they're lying. Well, why is that? Because they think that the parents know what's going on inside their heads. They're magical lie detectors.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So that's a cognitive thing. That's like,
it's a cognitive stage of development and where kids start playing with, you know, and they're protecting themselves, right? They don't want to get hurt. But it takes a long time to actually understand what lying is in the same way that you and I do. A 4-year-old who lies will lie indiscriminately. They will say, No, I didn't hit my sister. When you saw them hit the sister, right? There was just no question. You witnessed it. No, I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes until maybe they're 5 or 6 or 7 before they start picking and choosing their battles. When can they actually convince you of something successfully? Mm-hmm.
So
but,
how are we defining lies? Is it like what's the difference between lies and stories? Is a lie, are we saying like a lie is something that someone tells that for their own benefit or something?
Well, there are, I mean, I think basically a lie is something that isn't the truth.
Okay.
But for young children, actually, they don't make the distinction between a positive, a pro-social lie and a negative lie. For them, actually, it's purely factual. Intent is irrelevant. If you actually tell your kid, we're going to the park tomorrow and we're going to, you know, just have a really fun time, and your spouse says, no, we're not going to the park because I planned your swim lesson, for a five-year-old child, you lied because you were wrong.
My kids, actually Henry, the 13-year-old I was complaining about, he still says, you're lying if something didn't fell through or I didn't keep my agreement. He said, that's a lie. You lied to me.
And he's not exaggerating. He really thinks that intent is not relevant. Whereas you and I might think lying about, oh, yeah, sure, I love your new haircut,
right,
it isn't a lie because it was for their benefit. You didn't want to hurt their feelings.
They don't understand white lies.
They don't make that distinction, although they will at even 6 and 7 start making, you know, they will start saying those white lies too, but it's mostly because we encourage them to do it.
Right.
And they're visibly troubled when they're asked to say a white lie because they feel it's wrong. One of my favorite studies found that about 38% of five-year-olds thought swearing was a lie. Mm. And you're like, well, why is that? It's because swearing is bad, and lying is saying something that's bad. Mm. 92% of five-year-olds in that same survey knew that lying was always wrong. But when you asked why, half said, because I get punished. And about 15%, I think it was, said, I don't know.
Mm.
So there's a real period where they are lying, but they don't understand, you know, when is it okay, when is it not okay. But that doesn't mean they're not understanding that they are lying. There's a lot of advice columns out there saying, oh, they're just telling you stories and they're making it up, it's just wishful thinking. No, they know.
we have
absolutely clear on it's a lie.
We have a chatter in our chat room. See You Too Much says, my four-year-old boy, wait a minute, let me go back. I just scrolled off here. Oh, shoot.
Well, I have a question real quick.
My 4-year-old boy thinks everything I say is true. Sometimes I just give a bogus answer just to give an answer. Sometimes it's just like, you know, to say something. Why, mommy? You know,
right.
You don't want you to get tired of saying because I say so.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think kids do actually, you know, they actually, the work of Victoria Talwar, a researcher at McGill University in Canada, has found that kids are very much motivated by telling you what they think is going to make you happy.
Ah.
People even more pleaser, than I don't want to get punished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, you know, you'll tell a kid, tell me the truth and I won't be mad.
Right.
And you say it in that tone, right? And the kid knows that's not true.
Yeah.
But they, you know, and it's like, I won't punish you. They don't buy that. You're lying to them, right?
Yeah, they know better.
But if you say, tell me the truth and I'll be proud of you for telling me the truth, you may actually get a real answer.
Ah.
We actually, Talwar, I just mentioned, one of the things that she really has illuminated, and when I talk to kids, I think about it completely differently, is a lot of times we set kids up to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know,
that's interesting.
We watch them thrash the hedges outside.
Right.
And then they come in, hey, do you know what happened to the hedges?
We know.
Yeah.
And you know in advance, and then they lie.
I always hated that when parents did that.
Yeah.
They're trapping you.
They trap you, and then you get angry at them. And the worst part of it is you're never going to actually find out why was the kid so upset that he started clipping the hedges.
Right.
So it's a real lost opportunity in a whole bunch of different levels.
So
the other thing that Talwar says, which, again, I just think is so fascinating, is when that mother finally, you know, has that hedges argument, she's going to punish them for the hedges. she probably didn't punish them for the lie. And in that case, it's not fair to punish him for the lie because she tricked him into doing it.
Well, cops do that all the time.
Right. But a lot of times we do, you know, see the sister punch the brother, lie about it. We punish the punch. We don't punish the lie. We don't even mention it most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that sensitivity, I think, is something that parents need to be aware of, you know, look at both transgressions. But parents also need to start talking about the value of honesty.
Right.
People,
right.
I think parents, you know, say you shouldn't lie. How often do they say you should tell the truth? And how often do they tell the truth and have the kid understand that?
Mm.
Victoria says that a lot of times, in some of the lab experiments, you know, parents are bringing in their kids basically to prove, I'm a great parent. My kid's not going to lie. And then in some of the tasks, she constructs it for them, the parents and the kids, to tell white lies. And when the kid says a successful white lie, the kid's like, yeah, attaboy.
I showed you I can lie.
Right.
I can lie with the best of them.
And they don't ever even, it doesn't even ever occur to them that they actually are lying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So those kinds of discontinuities are really powerful, especially for the really young children. There was this, I thought, heart-wrenching study in Australia where they showed kids videotapes of a scenario where a boy hits someone and then the mother goes to the neighbor and lies about the child's behavior. And the little kids insisted that the boy actually did do something really bad. And they said, why? Because mommies don't lie. They would rather misrepresent what you do than accept that you might have actually lied. It's that profoundly upsetting to them.
That must be, yeah. And I think that happens probably to every kid at some point. They see their parents lie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you don't even realize it. You know, Talwar's favorite example is the telemarketer. No, she's not here right now.
Mm-hmm.
So a little kid may not understand that that's an okay lie to
right.
tell.
And they don't say, understand
lying.
At all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
just the white, I mean, we ask our little kids to tell all kinds of white lies, like, you know, don't say you didn't like that food that person served you. Don't, you know, mm-hmm. even if you don't like it, say it's good,
right.
you know.
Yeah, well, I guess we do that, don't
yeah.
we?
Victoria's great example was she actually had a colleague she works with. Their child had opened a Christmas present and went, ew, I don't like it, and told her grandmother that, and her grandmother was devastated. So the next year, they spent like 2 months coaching her. No matter what the present is, tell grandma you like it. So it's Christmas Day, she opens the present, and there's dead silence. And she finally turns and goes, Daddy, I really like it. What do I do?
So is there any research about the consequences of that kind of teaching kids to lie and lying in front of kids? Is it a problem?
Well, we definitely teach kids as much through white lies how to lie as we do. You know, I mean, you don't actually teach a kid to lie, right? You're doing it by example.
You do, yeah, by example. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's absolutely an issue that, you know, you have to be aware of. And, you know, who's calling you on that lie?
Right.
You're calling your kid on the lie, but no one's really, you know, calling you on it.
Right.
You might be caught.
So what do? Do we teach our kids to tell the truth, even if it's going to break grandma's heart?
You know, that's where the researchers get really itchy, because they, too, agree that there are pro-social lies. But I think you have to explain to the kid why you're doing something. And you also have to understand that at a couple points, it's going to be over their head.
Right.
And if you sort of acknowledge that this is going to be a difficult period for them, when's a white lie okay, when's a lie not okay,
right.
I think that that's important.
Tell them that this is, among all the other things you're learning, what you're learning now is when it's okay to tell the truth and when not. I do think it is important to teach kids to tell the truth in general, right?
So, I absolutely think so. And I think if you can set a path where lying is successful as a social strategy, then, you know, you can have some serious problems down the road. There aren't that many studies that actually follow, like, the longitudinal, the five-year-old who's a pathological liar, and, you know, are they still lying at 25? There are shorter studies within school and middle school, but they do find that, you know, kids after, say, 6 or 7 you know, 30% of the kids will find that lying is successful, and they keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just, you know, and by that point, at, you know, at 8, 9, 11, then kids are starting to realize that there's a reason to be lying, and they may get more, you know, it just may become a more comfortable situation for them to do.
What about a kid that lies all the time, an older kid?
Well, you know, everybody always, and I started this way too, saying, you know, well, how many lies do you need before it's a problem?
Yeah.
Everybody asks that. I've asked
how
it
long
a million
did your nose grow?
Right, exactly. And you're going to have this little hatch mark, you know, on the dining room table.
Right.
And the researchers always laugh and say, you know, if your kid lies, tells you the truth about everything except for their crack habit,
that's one lie
the problem.
Yeah.
And that probably changes everything.
So it's what they're lying about.
Well, some of it's what they're lying about. Of course, you might not know if they're a good liar.
Right.
But it's really about changes in behavior. If your kid never lied and was pretty honest, and all of a sudden they're lying all of the time, that's when the experts think that you need to be concerned. Because there's usually a change in the environment that came with it.
Mm.
And how they're dealing with it is by the lying and the manipulation.
Now, is that true for younger kids and older kids?
Yes. Definitely. And I think even more so for, you know, the teen crowd. The teenagers, well, of a list of, say, 36 topics, the average teenager lies to their parents about 12 of them. And we're talking about everything from, does your mom know where you were on Friday, to are you having sex, to did you actually wear that outfit to school? So a broad range. So there's, you know, lying a lot of time, but most of it, what they're doing is they're really just not telling you.
Right.
There's very, you know, only a fourth of the lying is actually to your face, a bold untruth.
And most of the time this lying is to avoid the consequence of telling the truth?
Well, that was actually what the researchers who were doing the teen research expected.
Right.
But what they actually found out, and this is specifically Nancy Darling at Oberlin, that when you ask them, why did you lie, and she did, asking why you lie is always a complicated thing. You're hoping they're going to tell the truth.
Right.
Was, well, I didn't want my parents to be disappointed in me, and I didn't want to have, you know, we have a really good relationship, and I thought they would think less of me. It was a much more sensitive and concerned approach than just, I didn't want to be grounded, which is where we thought it was going to be.
I have to say that the more I delve into this and talk to teenagers, disappointing their parents is the number one consequence, the thing that they want to avoid at all costs.
Mm-hmm. It's extremely important.
I was relieved to learn that they cared so much about what we thought.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. Some of the studies actually have found that arguing is a good sign. Because if your kid cares enough to argue, they respect your opinion and they're trying to change your mind.
Right. Oh, good. Well, my kid must really respect me.
They've actually done cross-cultural studies where, you know, the kid is just completely supposed to say, yes, you are my father and I obey you. And they argue even more than the American middle-class kid.
Good.
Yeah, well, the American middle-class kid says, yeah, sure, Dad, and then
whatever.
Sneaks out the window.
You old irrelevant fart, you.
Right.
I don't have to argue with you because it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what.
And actually, Tabitha Holmes did research and found that almost all moms felt that arguing with their teen was destructive. But only a quarter of the teens actually felt that way. And a lot of the teens actually thought arguing was a productive task because then you actually got to hear what that person was thinking.
At least it's communication, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought from Nancy Darling's research about, you know, what do teens lie to and what do they talk about, that I thought was really fascinating was about sex. Yes, they lie to their parents about sex. But what they really lie about is love.
Mm.
They do not like that, so do you really like him? Is
he
serious?
Yeah.
That is more upsetting to them than, you know, what are you actually doing in that car with your boy?
So I'm now going to offer another reason I think teens lie is to avoid intrusion.
Yes.
To protect their personal space.
It's absolutely about developing a sense of autonomy and being in charge of your own life. Although Darling's research is fascinating because I had thought the older you were as a teen, the more you needed that personal space. And that's actually not true. Mm-hmm. She actually found that 11-year-olds were more protective of those items that they didn't want to tell parents than the 18-year-old.
Interesting.
Because an 11-year-old, they're arguing about, you know, what they can wear to school. Right. That's all they've got.
They don't have much.
Right.
That,
exactly. You're not arguing with your 18-year-old about, are they taking the car or, you know, are they going to be here at 10 or 10:15?
Right.
There are other issues, and you also trust them at some point
to
make a decision.
The less it's at stake, the more you argue about it.
Exactly.
All I have is this little amount right here. I've got to defend it to the death.
That's exactly what they're finding.
That makes sense.
And also, 11-year-olds would be at the height of peer sensitivity.
Right.
You know, they're comparing themselves to what their friends do.
Right.
So it's really important that they, you know, have something where they're in control.
And so, and I think many, now what I'm getting the sense is, in many instances, this lying is natural. It's not unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're protecting their personal life. They're making boundaries. This is a developmental thing. They're trying to keep from disappointing you. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily even trying to avoid consequences.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want to disappoint you. I mean, I think
it's surprisingly reasonable, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, I wanted to save those bad kids. And it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and that's what when I'm saying I'm starting to like teenagers more, is I'm starting to realize that. I think getting real night and things like that, I'm starting to realize that once you understand these motivations, it does make sense, and it's
right.
not so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it absolutely is true. I'm being a little more patient, and I'm not setting up kids to lie. But I also think that, you know, we can go too far in the pendulum. One of the things I think that is the saddest from most of the research, and I've seen at least 7 or 8 researchers all find this, is that when parents think there's a problem and suspect their kid is lying, and I'm talking about something serious now, they don't confront them. Instead, they say, I'm sure if it was something, he would tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually withdraw because they don't want to know.
Yeah.
And the longer that goes on, the eventual revelation becomes much more painful and has longer-term relationship, you know, consequences in terms of, well, when am I going to trust you again? And I don't think that withdrawing is the answer.
Mm.
What you need to do is, when a kid gives you a fact, take it in.
Right.
Don't necessarily flip out. It was surprising how many of the researchers were saying, well, no, if you want to talk to parents, just tell them, don't freak out.
Right.
But I thought, and that's, you know, obviously easier said than done, but they're looking for you and how you respond to those small moments to see if they can trust you with the bigger ones. And I thought Rhonda Richardson did this, another heartbreaking study. She asked middle schoolers, if you could ask your mom and dad any one question, anything at all, what would you ask? And she expected sex, drugs, whatever. And they asked things like, do you love me?
Mm.
If someone gave you $1 million and said, would you trade for me, would you? They asked burning questions like, can I have a cat? And yeah, seriously, can I have a puppy? These were questions, burning questions on eighth graders' minds.
They don't really care about whether you love them or not. Maybe they do.
They absolutely do, but they're afraid to ask.
They ask both.
Yeah, I think that I really believe that these kids were answering the question with what they really wanted to know.
Yeah.
And it just showed that I think the parents would have assumed, well, of course the kid knows that I love him, and of course we can't have a pet because we can't have one because of the landlord.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But
yeah.
But it just shows you when those are the questions that, you know, kids are afraid to ask you, then you sort of wonder, well, what are they afraid to tell you?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, another one of the kids, you know, told Rhonda that the question was, will you still love me if you find out I got a really bad grade?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
So,
and they often try to cover it up. I think sometimes too. That's the other thing, is that that's in their heart, but they don't want to. They don't want to admit that. They don't want to say that.
I think that's also, you know, some of that's not admitting it to themselves.
Right.
But again, it also goes back to not wanting to disappoint you.
They're trying to look tough sometimes. I guess what I'm saying. They don't want to.
Right.
They want to act tougher than they really are, but in their hearts, you know, they don't want to disappoint you.
Yeah, I was actually surprised because I thought, you know, teenagers were, you know, really just thought, you know, parents were the bane of their existence. So the fact that they were actually doing things, even if it was wrong, to support the relationship was kind of, you know, sweet.
Yeah.
They, in Darling, she asked for like an hour or 2 hours. She would ask these teens, do you lie about this one? Why do you lie about this one? On and on and on. And by the end of it, she would say, you know, well, what do you think now that we've done this? And most of the teens said that they realized that they were lying a lot more to their parents than they had thought they were. Because it was just something that you just did off the top of your head. Oh, yeah, Mom, I'm at a friend's house. And that once they had realized how many times they had lied, they didn't want to do it anymore. And it upset them because they were deciding that they weren't actually being the person that they thought of themselves as being. Mm-hmm. There's this adorable study. It's an older study from the 70s, but it was in Halloween. And they set it up with baskets of candy and signs saying, take only one piece. And the kids would just grab and run, right? Unless someone said, hey, aren't you the kid who lives on Maple?
Oh, boy.
Then they only took one.
Yeah. That's why I love living in a small town.
Yeah. But the best part was they also only took one if behind the candy was a mirror.
Oh, wow.
If the kids saw themselves doing something wrong, they didn't do it.
I love that.
That's interesting.
I know. Isn't that great?
That
yeah.
is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that at Halloween. That is so great. Actually, is it a cover story in New York Magazine?
Yes.
And so is
Why Kids Lie.
Why Kids Lie. Newsstands now?
No, actually it was in February, but you can still get it in the New York Magazine archives.
Excellent. Or is it online as well?
Yes.
Okay.
NYMag.com.
And are you guys working on a book?
We are. We're working very hard on a book. It's as yet untitled, unfortunately. But yeah, we're doing a book on the science of child development and parenting.
Oh, I can't wait to read that.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, that'll mean you're done once you, and then you'll know. Yeah.
Well, my standard for, you know, for the sleep piece for this is when I get angry that I didn't already know something.
Oh, that's great.
If I knew this about kids lying or... Right. Mirrors on candy. I could have changed how I did it.
I would have done it differently. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I get really excited, and hopefully that's going to be the excitement for people who are reading the book.
Well, I can't wait. You must come back when the book comes out.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah, I can't wait. That's fascinating stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Ashley.
Ashley Merriman, you're the greatest. Where's the website?
The New York Magazine website is nymag.com.
Mm-hmm.
We also have information about the book at Poe Bronson's website, my colleague, who I'm writing with, and his URL is www.pobronson.com, PoeBronson.com.
Very good.
All right. Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's reassuring to me.
Yeah.
Because I think I've started to kind of get that in my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that at the Getting Real night, that the most important thing was the thing that motivated them was, and I was shocked, not disappointing their parents.
Right.
That was a big deal. Now, of course, these are kids who are, you know, pretty high functioning, and they're, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, they're going to a prep school, and they're obviously kids who are designed to please their parents.
Right.
But nevertheless, I think that's really more common. I think it's pretty universal. Kids,
mm-hmm.
kids care a lot more than you think about what you think.
Yeah.
And that was, boy, that made me feel good.
Yeah.
Because I thought I had no influence at all. They couldn't care less what I think at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Annabella's just started sort of telling stories. Like she was, and they're ones that like are slightly believable. Like she was telling me that she was supposed to take a bath and Marco turned the water on and couldn't find her. And then the water overflowed and got all over the floor. And
dear.
I was like, that's totally possible that would happen. And he wouldn't tell me. But like I asked him, he's like, no, none of that happened.
Isn't it amazing how creative they can
yeah.
be?
Yeah, and I don't think of that as a lie. It's just testing out that, but it probably is testing out like their ability to lie and make you believe things. But.
It's they have a rich fantasy life.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so now should we get to listener feedback?
We have a lot of it on our whatchamacallit page, Grand Central.
Our number.
Page.
Do you want to start with a voicemail, or do you want me to start with an email?
Why don't you you do one, and I'll launch the Grand Central.
Okay, this is from Donna. She says regarding our episode about teenagers last week. She says, "Yes, your children will outgrow the terrible teens and go on to do wonderful things, including giving you adorable grandchildren." And she also wants to add a thumbs up about the Eleanor Mann video, Marilyn Mann's daughter video that we showed last week. What a funny idea and an adorable girl. However, my personal favorite Marilyn video is Eleanor's agenda. The concept is her sitting in her command center exercisor and wide-eyed as Daddy puts conquer the world words in her mouth. It's hysterical. And I did flash forward about 14 years and pictured her rolling her eyes and saying, Dad, you're not funny.
Yep. I promise you that will absolutely happen.
Yeah.
That actually, my daughter tells me that all the time.
Yeah.
Dad, not funny. Not funny, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm still looking here.
Okay, should I read another mail?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, this is from Andre of lostparentdiary.com. Mm. He says, I'm very new to your show. I started listening not more than a week or two ago. It's actually kind of funny how I got to you. I discovered GTD, which led me to Merlin Mann's 43 Folders, which led me to MacBreak Weekly with Leo, and now finally I'm here with you.
Well, that's a convoluted path.
Yeah. It's always interesting to know how people got to
us,
though.
I love knowing that, yeah.
He says, I noticed that there's been some discussion across several episodes about a device that records the amount of time you speak with your baby.
Yes.
I thought this is an interesting gadget, way too expensive for me, and as someone who has a degree in linguistics and currently teaches English to foreigners,
wow.
I thought I may have some interesting insight to share with you and your listeners. The comments being made about the device by other listeners tend to assume that the more you speak to your child, the better it is for him. I'm afraid it's not that simple.
Really?
For example, there are many cultures on Earth that are not as loquacious as American culture is.
They don't talk as much either.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yet the children in those cultures learn the language is fine. This leads into a whole debate about the quality versus quantity of speech the child is exposed to, but you could write a book on that. I want to clarify what I'm saying. Let's not take for granted that the more we speak, the better it'll be for a child. It's just what we say is just as important.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting because it's true. Like, there are a lot of people that don't talk as much as we do. And
use sign language.
Right.
Because that's good for them, too. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. Let me give you our number real quickly.
Okay.
707.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to mention it.
Didn't mention it. 981-4602. That is not toll-free. It's a call to the Petaluma area. However, it shouldn't cost you too much these days. And we really love hearing your voice.
Yeah.
Like this call from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Leo and Megan. I'm a big fan of All the Twit podcast. My name is Kim in Portland. I have a 5-year-old boy. I just wanted to say that I always enjoy the show. It's a little bit, seems a little mommy-centric, but
we hear that sometimes.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say I really disliked Vanessa, your last guest, because I am a legal pot grower and farmer in...
Wait a minute. A legal what? Pot grower? I think that's what he said, and farmer. That's legal, I guess, in Portland.
I thought he said legatographer.
It's probably legal because it's medicinal.
Oh. For us to use it and for us to grow it. And I'm sick and tired. My kid has to live with stereotypes from ignorant people like that. And it's really none of her... I don't know. I just am really disgusted by her attitude from some 22-year-old punk. Anyway, see ya.
All right. Hey, that's good to hear. What did she say? Did she say... smoking pot is bad?
I think so.
I think most people would agree on that.
But we want to hear from everyone.
Everyone. Interesting. What I'd like to know from Kim is if he's advocating the teenager smoke pot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would be advocating
that.
If he's growing medicinal marijuana, I have to say, I mean, I'll be honest, I shouldn't say this, but I would prefer if my kid had a choice between drinking and smoking pot, I'd probably prefer she smoked pot.
That's what my parents used to always say to me.
Because, you're more likely to sit on your duff and watch TV than get in an accident.
Yeah.
But I think they could make a pretty strong case that any drug use when you're that young is a bad idea.
But he said medicinal, though, right?
He's growing medicinally, I presume, and that's the only way
that?
It could be legal.
He said legal.
I think it's legal, and that means it's medicinal, and so that's different. We're not saying, but I don't think any doctor would prescribe pot for a teenager either.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly what she said about it, but.
Well, I think what she also probably said is that it's very, very widespread, which it is.
Yeah.
Among teenagers, I mean.
Yeah.
At least in our neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting point of view.
Yes. Should we listen to another one?
Sure. This is from Gilroy, California.
Hey, Leo.
It's a short one, but I thought very interesting. I don't know what happened there.
Hi, Megan. This is Art. I'm from Gilroy, California, garlic capital of the world. I listen to all your podcasts, Leo. I think they're great, but this one I think is awesome. I just got done with episode 43. It's talking about teenagers. Oh, my goodness. I have four kids. I have an 18, a 13, and a 10-year-old. Daughters, and I have a 5-year-old son.
Oh, you're busy.
And when you were talking about teenagers, yes, I know what you're talking about. I had no gray hair, okay? I'm 40 years old. And so my oldest is, like I said, 17. She's 17. I think I said 18, but I'm at 17, 13, and 10. And when my oldest turned 13, it was like, it was on. Yeah, you know, she's
bring it on. I know what you mean.
She didn't have no gray hair when she turned 13. And now it's like, well, I'll just have to send you a picture.
We know the feeling. We absolutely do. In fact, well, I think there's a little gray showing.
Yeah,
I'm sure I've
got my gray
we'll
showing.
See,
too.
We'll see. We'll see. You have a couple years left before you have to go gray. You have any written ones anymore? Or should we?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Oh, that was it?
Well, I mean, it's a 3-minute call. Okay. I thought I'd edit there judiciously. Yeah.
This is from Jamie. And Jamie called in last week, or perhaps 2 weeks ago, in favor of homework. And that was the day you were feeling particularly...
mad about homework.
Yes. He was the one who called in. His wife is a teacher.
Yeah.
And he was saying that it's just to get parents more involved in kids. And he said, my point is that unfortunately most parents are not very involved with their kids. The parents of students in my wife's class can't be bothered to check the kids' behavior sheet for the day or read the weekly newsletter my wife sends home. Your audience and the guests aren't the problem. They're parents who are involved in their kids' lives. The homework is a way to try to push the parents who, from what I've seen, are the majority that don't take time to read to their kids.
Right.
But use TV or Xbox as babysitters. Take this as a quick example. One of my wife's students was in reading recovery because her reading skills were very low. Because she was in this program, part of her homework was for parents to read with her every night. Her reading proficiency went up during the program. Then after the parents were told she was doing better, it went back down. At the most recent parent-teacher conference, her mother admitted that once she was told her daughter was doing better, she stopped reading with her at night.
Yep.
So that's there interesting because it's like, you know, well... You know,
now, I have to say, defense of parents, many parents work. They're working long hours. They get home. They're exhausted. Reading your kid, I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
So not everybody has the luxury or the time to do that. And I don't think we should blame people for that. I think, it's kind of unfortunately, a side effect of our modern age.
That's
where both parents are working and are exhausted and don't have time.
Yeah,
to do that.
I think that probably, it sounds to me like Jamie wasn't talking about one of those people that didn't have 15 minutes to spare, you know, to read.
Right.
But
yeah, if they're not doing it because they're lazy,
they
kick their butts. Make them do homework. This has been a fabulous episode.
It has.
We thank you for your feedback. We thank Ashley Merriman once again.
Yeah, excellent.
She's the greatest.
And I'm not lying about that. She was really a great guest.
You look like you're lying. No, but she's not. I can't. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time
on Jumping Monkeys.